What's up, hockey fans? This is the Leafs Convo podcast for Vanguard Northeast Realty in Toronto. I'm Norman James, along with Mike Augello. Happy early morning, Monday, March 4th, 2019. Not only are we getting ready for the Leafs and their Western road swing, Calgary tonight, wow, that's going to be a battle, but we're just so happy that the Leafs could take it to the Sabres on Saturday to save some face after that debacle on Long Island. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Norman. It was very pleasant to see the Sabres lose to the Leafs twice in 6 days. Not going to get used to that because we know when they come here and they're going to be in Buffalo on March the 20th, it'll be tough for them to get that victory because it's always tough for them to win Buffalo. But it was a good response to a really bad, probably their worst effort of the season on Long Island last Thursday.
I love me some Buffalo, New York, Mike, but I just don't like when the Leafs play hockey there. Fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't have the record in front of me, but I think they're like 45 games under 500 in Buffalo, and that shouldn't happen because Buffalo, other than a few instances, has been, I think, you know, not a great successful winning franchise. Mm-hmm. But you know, the Leafs have a mental block when they come here, so we'll deal with that a couple weeks down the road. But you know, it wasn't a complete victory because, as usual, after John Tavares's opening goal, the Leafs fell asleep and gave up two goals in like less than 2 minutes, and they found themselves behind 2-1. And only that Morgan Rielly goal at the end of the first period sort of brought them back. And then they burst out with two goals at the again. It's not a 60-minute effort, and it's early on. It's really tough for them to get going, even when they get the opening goal like they did in Nassau Coliseum on Thursday, they quickly give up the lead. So their starts are still a problem.
Reaction from people who listen to this podcast has generally been one of frustration over what the Leafs did on Long Island. But there are others who think that guys like you and I are making a mountain out of a molehill. Look, the Leafs were coming off a back-to-back. They had a backup goaltender in. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of injuries. We're in an excuse-making era, Mike. And that's fine and dandy. I mean, you have to deal with the realities of things. But what happens if this is the playoffs? Are we just going to wave the white flag? Did we make too much of what happened on Long Island?
I don't think we made too much of it because I think that was as close to a playoff environment as you're going to get. Now, it was personal for Tavares. It was, you know, you had jerseys thrown at him and things, plastic snakes thrown at him on the ice before the game. But the sort of heated, emotional, visceral reaction of the fan at Nassau Coliseum is what you're probably going to see in Boston in early April. And how did the Leafs react to it? Now, I know that Gardner wasn't there and Dermott wasn't there, and hopefully both will be there when the Leafs play the Bruins in the first round. But the reaction to this team was to shrink. It was not to, sort of burst out in support of their teammate. This club has veteran leadership. You know, they have Marleau, who got to a Stanley Cup final with San Jose a few years ago. Hainsey's won a Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh. You know, there are experienced players here. And hopefully they lead the way when it comes to the younger players and shows them what they need to do when the playoff bell rings. And, you know, that's the only thing you can look forward to right now, because if they play that way against Boston, it's going to be another early exit.
Michael, Patrick Marleau and Ron Hainsey are not the head of this project. They're consultants based on their age and where they are along the timeline of their career and their abilities. They're great consultants, great guys to have in your ear, great guys to have in the room, great guys to have potentially making a big play or two when it counts. But Patrick Marleau and Ron Hainsey aren't going to get up in front of the room and start yelling expletives at the kids and trying to fire them up. My concern is that the Leafs just didn't rise to the occasion of that game. And that might just say that their personality is not where it will eventually be. I think it has to get personal for them too. And that loss to Boston last spring definitely hit home. It clearly didn't sit well with Jake Gardner. And that's why I want to have Jake Gardner back for a run. But maybe the Leafs need to lose in another heartbreaking fashion where it's personal, where these guys just can't stop thinking about it throughout the offseason, so that again, it's another step in their development. It's another step in their maturation and understanding that, look, you don't have endless seasons to win these things. And if you have the ability to get it done as soon as possible, go ahead and do it, because once you do it, then you'll do it again and again, Mike.
With the Islanders, I observed yesterday that it was funny that they sort of shot their wad in that game on Thursday.
Mike, what do we have to do? Put the parental advisory label on them? I'm kidding.
It's an expression. But they, you know, they sold out emotionally on Thursday against the Leafs, you know, and then in the next two games, three games and four nights, and they're in a battle for first place or maybe even still a playoff spot. You know, they lost to Washington and they didn't show up against Philadelphia. So it's like, you know, that game took its toll on the Islanders in a way as well, but I don't care as much about that as I care about what's going on with the Leafs.
Wow, the Flames. That's a team that we don't talk about much because all we do is talk about ourselves and the Maple Leafs. But holy smokes, they are good. Is this the kind of team that maybe we should be talking about as a potential Stanley Cup winner, or are we just too wrapped up in all the goings on in the Eastern Conference to give them enough credit?
I mean, I think they've been noticed in the West, but being in the West, you know, prevents them from getting the full credit that they probably deserve. And yeah, they, you know, they have great forwards in Monahan and Goudreau, and Matthew Tkachuk has got 25 goals this year, and Giordano is probably going to beat out Morgan Riley for the Norris. Although, you know, he's having a great year, and the benefit for him is he's 35 years old. So I think, you know, when the voters make their vote, they'll say this is probably his last chance. Mm-hmm. So they'll give it to him. But I think the lack of seriousness about Calgary as a Stanley Cup contender is about their goaltending. And, you know, right now their goaltending is an aging Mike Smith and David Rittich. And, you know, there was a lot of talk at the deadline about them trading for a goaltender. So, but there's no disputing their success. They're a powerful offensive team. They're really good defensively. They're playing the type of game similar to the Leafs, because Bill Peters, the former Carolina coach, was an understudy under Babcock. So it's going to be sort of matching game on game, and whoever plays that type of game wins. Remember, Carolina-Toronto games were always dreadful because they're playing the same style. So it's probably going to be that type of game, but, you know, two good teams, so it'll be interesting to watch.
And Håkan Loob's playing a real great two-way game right now, too. So I think
he Kent Nielsen. There you go.
Hey, man, the Calgary Flames, 89 Stanley Cup champs, baby.
I still remember the Cowboy, Calgary Corral before they moved into the Saddle Dome that had boards that were higher than NHL regulation.
Didn't they beat the Canadiens in 89 to win the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
And we owe, so we owe the Flames, because if it were 25 cups, if you think we haven't heard the end of it now, can you imagine 25 cups?
But they lost to the Canadiens in 86, so they just made up for one more victory.
Michael, what a king you are. Last thing, can we just let this team roll out and do what it does and play the way it plays? I mean, I bitch about the team. I laud the team. This is what we do on a podcast. People don't understand it. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're new to podcasts. Maybe they're new to people just having their own opinions. I mean, I know it's my fault. It's your fault. It's their fault. It's no one's fault, Mike. Just can we just let the team go and play, finish the regular season, go as deep in the playoffs as it can, and then we assess? Or do you think we should, you know, be right on top of this team's abilities or shortcomings and suggesting whether or not we think this team is capable of more, Mike? Because I'm kind of at a point where we'll get what we get from these guys. It could be great. It might be disappointing. Just roll the dice and see what happens. Last word to you.
Well, I mean, you know, part of the job of covering a team is to be critical of them. I mean, when they're successful, you are positive about them. And when they have, you know, troubles or travails, you criticize them. And I think that the Leafs, you know, in general have been a success this year. But, you know, after the signing of Tavares, after the trade of Muzzin, the clear goal for this team was to, you know, make a run in the playoffs, to get past the first round, hopefully, if things break the right way, to win for the first time in 52 years. I'm naturally pessimistic. I don't see a path of getting through both Boston and Tampa as they're currently constructed. But right now, I think the most important thing is for them to get past the first round. That's why I think everything was so emotional in Leafland about how they played in New York on Thursday. And we're looking, because right now there's nothing much else to look forward to other than early April and then playing the Boston Bruins.
It's got to hurt for these guys. It hurt a little bit last year. I think it hurt more for the fans. But if these guys get bounced early and there's a lot of hockey left on the table that these Cats will not get a chance to play because they're eliminated, it's going to hurt. And I think as much as that's going to suck for us going through that process yet again, for them, if it means more than it did last year, and it certainly will, that bodes well going forward because they have the talent to rebound and have a monster year next season with maybe a little bit more help and things sorted out a little bit more. And I'm not just talking about the players. Kyle Dubas is an emotional dude. When Nick Patan scored the other night, I thought he was going to lay a kiss on Larry Gilman, or I thought he was going to kiss Lawrence Gilman. Larry's the right name anyway. I thought he was going to kiss Larry Gilman and whoever else was up there. Reed Mitchell's a great guy. He really is, man. He's been a follower of mine on Twitter for 10 years. I don't know why, but he just, you know what? He just wants to keep plugged in with what we're doing on the convo. But he was excited about it. You saw him parading the cup around at Coca-Cola Coliseum last year. He's an emotional guy. And I'll tell you what, if the Leafs get bounced and it's a disappointment, he's going to feel it too. And he was going to start to realize that, look, I need to do more than talk to consultants about how to make this team better. I'm excited for. Oh, one more thing, Kasperi Kapanen. Are we seeing a bigger player emerge?
Well, I mean, I saw the fight that he had on Saturday, and I don't know if he's going to be. I don't know if he's going to all of a sudden be Tom Wilson, but I think there's a physical edge to his game. There's a snarky edge his dad had that. So I think that would be, as he gets more comfortable in the NHL, you're going to see that come to the forefront. I have to say though, just because you mentioned Nick Patan, he played the least amount of time on Saturday, 7 minutes and I think it was 45 seconds, and he scored a goal. And then of course today he's going to be out of the lineup, and I like Tyler Ennis, and I would bring Tyler Ennis back. I'd re-sign him, but you know, usually you reward players when they score, and in this instance they put him back on the bench. But
Tyler Ennis, how could you ever take him out of the lineup? We've talked about how this guy is a key driver on that fourth line. Is there somebody else who should be out? Like, I know it's on the fourth line too, Mike. It's like dedicated centers and mixing and matching. So what, man? If you want to play and you've got some talent, you can help us out on the fourth line. I don't care if you have three centers down there.
I know that Babcock really likes Freddie Gauthier. Again, I don't get it, but it's a given that he's going to be in the lineup as the fourth line center. That's fine. The trade for Patan may have been a move for next year in a sense that they need cheap contracts. He's under $1 million. He's an RFA at the end of the year. They like him because they traded for him. They probably weren't going to bring back Parlin Lindholm. And in this instance, they just had to qualify Patan, and he probably will be in the fourth line mix with Trevor Moore and Ennis if they re-sign him. So it's a good move, but I know people in Winnipeg who believe he's an NHL talent and just needs the opportunity, and he never really got that in Winnipeg.
I love those Muppets, man. Those guys booting around out there. You know how much we love Trevor Moore. We've done a ton of stuff on him on the convo, and I'll post some links on this podcast. So please hit the card on the end screen and click on that as well. But Tyler Ennis, I'm excited for them. And the thing about the GOAT is I like Freddie. I like the guy. And it's weird because he's like the milestone from one great thing or one amazing thing he does to the next, the distance is, it's a lot. But he is still doing some things along this journey that are putting him in better stead with the head coach and who knows the GM, because the GM obviously has put a lot of stock in Freddie Gauthier developing to the point where he's a reliability and not a liability. I don't know. I like the four of them down there. I think Mike Babcock, he's set in his ways, and I know this is where fans get so frustrated with him, and we are too. Mike, sometimes, man, you went in Rome, went, you got to make some decisions that might go against the grain, or go or ruffle some feathers, or they might change the way your general thinking is. But if you want to start winning, you want to start making adjustments and finding success, there's nothing wrong with being spontaneous and doing something that you don't normally do. Michael, I think we got to go now. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Norman.
The Leafs Combo is brought to you by Vanguard Northeast Realty. With over 15 years' experience, Vanguard provides superior level of service for commercial real estate tenants and owners. For more information, visit vanguardne.ca.